Praise the Lord. Our heads for a moment of prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, we are truly grateful this morning for this opportunity to come. And Lord, to come and together and to lift up your name in song and in praise and worship unto you. And then Lord, to set reverently and to have you speak to our hearts. And Lord, each one of us has come today asking that you would speak to us and give us what we have need of. And Lord, we just pray that you'll just settle our spirits, prepare our hearts, and Lord, may we truly be ready for the hearing of thy word. And may we be able to leave today, Lord, saying it's been good to be in the house of the Lord, and we'll never fail to give you the glory and the honor for it all. And we ask it in your lovely, precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated if you'd like. Amen. I'd like to turn over to page 43 in your big books, if you would. Everybody happy to be out this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. With his manna he doth feed and supplies our every need. Oh, to seek to sup with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. The disciples came to land, thus obeying Christ's command, for the Master called to them, come and dine. There they found their heart's desire, bread and fish upon the fire. Thus he satisfies the hungry every time. Turn over to page 61. Amen. Always loved this little song. I have found the way that leads to endless day yonder in the glory land. And the road is bright, for Jesus is the light. Oh,
I couldn't have found it if he hadn't shown it to me.
Amen. Glory to his name. How great he is. Glory. Amen. Let's sing that little chorus. How great is our God. Amen. How great is our God. How great is his word. He's the greatest one. Amen. That ever was heard. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Sing that little chorus. Why don't you lift up your hands and praise the Lord? Amen. Why? Amen. Somebody had to help me probably. Amen.
Why don't
you lift up your hands and praise the Lord? It's praise him for his mercy. Praise him for his love. Precious. Amen. You can be seated if you'd like. Amen. We'd like to turn over here to page 51. Amen. Or 151 in your Only Believe books. Sing this little chorus. Amen. There are people almost everywhere whose hearts are all aflame with the fire that fell at Pentecost, which cleansed and made them clean. It is burning now within my heart. Oh, glory to it.
I'm so glad that I could say amen. Next verse. Amen. They were gathered in the upper room, all praying in his name. Amen. Yes, hallelujah. Amen. Care to come for the offering, if you would. Amen. That's the blessing, if you would.
Lord, we thank you for this day and for which we can live for you and serve you and praise you for all you've done for us, Lord. Have thine own way in everything we say and do. Bless the service. Bless this offering for that thing. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Let's sing a little chorus. He lives. Amen. He lives, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. Take the request this morning.
Gracious Lord, we're just grateful and thankful for another opportunity here today, Lord. And so grateful and thankful, Lord, for your Holy Spirit, Lord, that
yes,
you desire
Lord.
In our hearts, Lord, to draw closer to you, Lord, and to be in our hearts this morning, Lord, and each and every one of us here gathered together here this morning. Have a great desire in our hearts, Lord, to please
yes,
you, Lord.
Dear Lord.
My God, I need that you'd have us anew by the leading of your Holy Spirit. And we pray, Father, that every need who is that raised their hand here this morning, you know the need was upon the one heart and raised a hand and pray, dear God, that you just look at them now from thy throne of grace and glory,
yes.
Lord, and then you'd meet that need, Lord, that it might bring glory and honor unto thy name. And we ask you today, Lord, as if that you just bless your word, Lord, and come forth, and thy God, that you might anoint the messenger, Lord, and bring forth your word, and you just take control of thy God, his mind and his thoughts, Lord, and thy his mouth as he speaks your word, Lord,
yes.
God, he might speak the word of God, Lord, and thy God, that would stir our hearts to a closer walk with you. just ask these things all in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Brother Luke, would you care to sing that song, Thirst, for us this morning? Think you can do it? You want to wait? That's fine. We'll wait. Amen. Anyone else got a chorus on your heart? Something you'd like to sing this morning? Amen. Anyone at all? Hallelujah. Amen. He's so precious. Amen. Well, no one has anything. Let's just turn over here and sing Amazing Grace. Amen. It's only His amazing grace that we're each one gathered here this morning. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Precious, so wonderful, and all the mercy and the grace that He's shown us. Amen. Let's just sing the little chorus, Only Believe, as we ask our brother to come just to open our hearts, Lord, to the precious word that You would have for us. Amen. Only believe. Only believe.
Heavenly Father, oh, we appreciate you so much. You're so wonderful, so glorious. No wonder David the psalmist spoke the words that he often spoke. Lord Jesus, when you have placed these words in a man or a woman's heart, oh God, it's so easy to glorify your greatness. So easy, Lord, to uplift our hands, our voices, in praise and honor to our very Creator. Lord, the one that you've seen us in your mind before there's ever a moon or a star, and everything, Lord, that would happen, you already know. Lord Jesus, we ask that you, being the great I am today, and a great author and finisher of our faith, that you would speak to our hearts through the Word of God. And Lord, help us to be receptive, Lord, and humble. Lord Jesus, to humbly come before thy Word. And Father, we will listen and take heed, for the hour is far spent. And Lord Jesus, your appearing is so close. We ask now that you'd help us now. Each one of us to yield to you. And again, Lord, we make sure that you get all the glory and the honor and the praise. In your precious name we ask, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 I love him. Praise the Lord. Let us turn our Bibles. If you'd like to turn with me a scripture we read last Sunday, I'd like to read this morning. Just kind of refresh this little thought in your minds before we go on with our message today. And this actually, this won't be our subject, what we're bringing this morning, but I just wanted to renew your mind to it. Romans 8th chapter and 29th verse. Let's just read that. Then we'll go back into the book of Romans here in a little bit. Romans 8, 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And may the Lord again bless you in his word, and you may be seated. Amen. Just want to renew your minds back to it again, to being conformed to the image of what? His moral excellency. Amen. His moral excellency. And oftentimes, as we receive the Word and we sit under the Word, we find many times there's things that shake our lives and stir us and show us where we're not like that. But yet, God, by His grace and mercy, has made a way that He would conform us to that. And as we would receive the Word, we would become that moral excellency, which is Christ, the Word, you see? So keep that in mind this morning as we go back into the Word of God. And I'd like to title our little message this morning, Hatred for the Works of the Flesh. So I'd like to title my message this morning. And I'd like to say, keep in mind that verse of Scripture too. That's what we've been predestinated for. Predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. There's no greater than His Son. Oh my, He's so great and so mighty. And everything He did was just right. And you know what? That should be our desire too. To do everything just right and perfect. Without any flaws. Should be our desire. I'd like to read this little quote here, something the prophet said. Just a little, another added little nugget just to keep in mind. But this is something the prophet said in Hearing and Recognizing and Acting. This was June 7, 1960. He said, the carnal mind will say to the Word of God, oh, that intellectual, well-trained minister will say, oh, now look, children, that's fanaticism. Don't believe in that. There's nothing to that. Don't you believe that. That's really catnip now. I'm telling you, that'll put them to sleep. But he says, the real servant of God will tear the skin off of you. Yes, sir. He will shake you with the word of God, and he will tell you what's right and what's wrong. If he doesn't, I wouldn't give you a nickel for his preaching. That's exactly right. And any man that's afraid of his meal ticket or something other that won't stand and tell the truth of the word of God, what he needs is a good Pentecostal meeting and get a real Pentecostal feeling. In other words, get a real baptism of the Holy Ghost. You see. He says what he needs is to get a Pentecostal meeting somewhere and get a real Pentecostal feeling. That'll take care of it. And it sounds like some of those men who had to give up everything, they had to walk with the Lord. See, they had to give up everything. But what was it? They were ordained of God. They don't care what they have to leave. And I believe today that's the way any true minister all over the earth will be. I really believe that. If I didn't believe that, I'd tell you. It's just the way I am. But I believe every ordained minister of God will tell you the truth regardless what people think. Amen. All right, I want to go back in this whole message now. If you'll remember last Sunday, I read from the Message indictment. And he was bringing out these things about some ministers and what they are doing and people singing in choirs and so forth and their condition and singing before the Lord. But I'd like to renew your mind back to this now. And when we go into this, I want you to think about this really good now. Why is it that there is some people that really do hate? I mean, hate. Everybody know what hate is? Have you ever had somebody down through your life, maybe years ago before you was filled with the Holy Ghost, and you really hated them? I mean, you just couldn't stand to even see their face, just to look upon them. Or maybe there was a certain thing you just hated to do. Maybe when you was a child. Maybe your duties as a child and growing up in the home, your duties was to maybe take the trash out every evening or maybe slop the hogs. Maybe you didn't really want to or whatever it may be. And you really hated that and you was told to do that. And it was just a fight to have to do that. I mean, you just couldn't stand the thoughts of it to even be associated with it. Have to carry the trash out. Why do I have to carry the trash out? Why can't somebody else do it? Why can't mom and dad do that, you know? And then there's those that love doing those things. Some children will, if mother and dad just mentions it, sure, mom, I'm going to go do that. And they have fun doing it. They whistle while they're going to the trash can, you know, to dump the trash in. Because they don't hate to do it. But to somebody that hates to do it, they have a tendency to just try to dodge it, you know, stay away from it. Well, today I'd like to make you think about today of anything carnal and fleshly. Now, we've got to realize this is a big issue. Look at the believers in the message today that loves following the Buckeyes and different things, football games and different things like that. Believers. Heard what the prophet said, but they just love to do it. Where the next believer comes along and they just can't stand it. And it ain't the thing they have to try to, I seen that on TV walking by in the store and I had to stop and see what was going on. No, they really hate it. So they just automatically just walk away from it because they just absolutely cannot stand it. Why is this? Why do we see so many believers associated as being believers or maybe feel that they're born again, feel that they're in Christ, and then some it says they're believers and feel they're believers and knows they're believers and God vindicates their believers? Why is this thing, yet we're all called believers? We all follow the same message. Now, we're not even talking about denominations things. We just talk about people following the message, the prophet that was sent for the age. And why do you see so many people? I know there's a man that just loves, he's in this message, and he loves going to car shows. And he's got an old car, like Shoney's car.
Everywhere he goes, he wants to take his old car, show his old car. Some people have other things. Some people like listening to things. Some people like donating their money to preachers on the radio. That's not the Antichrist. They like doing that. And some can't stand that. Why is this thing that there's some people that just seems to have this hatred for things that's contrary to the Word? And others stand around the same message and phone and everything and just don't seem to have that hatred. It's just not there. There seems to be something that's just, they like that thing. But the other one over here hates that thing. Are them two people still right with God? Both of them? No. It's impossible to be. It's impossible. Both of them be right with God. So which one is right with God? Do you think the one that loves the Buckeyes, the football games, we'll just use that example? Because I don't think anybody in here enjoys that anymore. But would this one enjoy watching football games? And watch these idiots go out there and hit heads together and knock each other over and run after a goofy ball and things. Could they be right with God? Could it be? Could they, when they want to listen to things that ain't right and they're mocking our Lord Jesus Christ? Could that person be right? Could this person be right that can't stand football? Yeah. Can't stand race car tracks? Can't stand these carnal things, shows people putting on? Just can't stand it. But again, who's right? Who is gone? We'll say it in a way a child can understand. Who's going to heaven? And who ain't? You see, we serve a God and a message today that God promised us that we could be assured. That we would know exactly who we are. I don't know who we are, where we came from, and whether for sure we're in a rapture or not. God gives that message in this day. Even though it seems like thousands aren't catching it. But still, God gave us that message. Okay? But I want you to think of this again now, because I want to set this whole foundation before we go on. This is an indictment, July 7, 1963. It's paragraph 291. I'm going to skip some of it I read last Sunday to save a little time. Just bring your mind back to it. Paragraph 291. Jesus said, "In vain they worship me." Well, let's back up so we can at least catch that. Think of it, his hardest pierces come from the pulpit. That's where his new Calvary is at. Calvary. What happened to Calvary? They crucified our Lord, right? Yeah. Would anybody like to crucify our Lord Jesus today? If he came again? Would you like to crucify him? That's the sad thing. People are crucifying and don't realize it. They crucify him, the Word, at the pulpit. That's right. How'd they do it? By their forms of godliness. Oh, they act like they're really godly. Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Crowned from the audience by scoffers. Amen. Preach that thing, brother. Ain't two souls. Amen to that. We wasn't born with two souls. Brother Bram was mixed up on that. Amen. Those scoffers, that audience, amen. Preacher behind the pulpit preaching this creed, this idea. Amen. He's got a new crown of thorns, scoffers. Pierced from the pulpit, crowned by the scoffers. Is he crucified again afresh? Striped by man of creeds? Teachers of denomination against his word, they stripe it and shame it and condemn it. Not only denominations now, message churches do. Which Brother Brian wasn't living long enough to see all these message churches as it's here today. And it's probably a good thing he didn't have to see it. Jesus said, in vain they worship me. In vain. He says, in other words, don't do no good. Who they worship? They worship that same God that was worshiping the same God at his first crucifixion. It was a vain worship, though. It's the same thing today. In vain they build these denominations. In vain they build these seminaries. In vain they have their creeds, teaching for doctrine the commandments of man and denying the word of God. They're guilty of crucifying the Prince of Life, teaching man's doctrines for his word. In vain they worship me, stripe, pierced, and crowned. Now he says, you know what? He's got a new Golgotha. Remember, this is where they crucified the Lord. The time come for him to be crucified, to destroy him. He's got a new Golgotha, where they take to him these robe choirs, short-wearing women, bobbed hair, painted faces, and singing in a choir like angels with talents. That's his new Golgotha. Just modern striptease protected by law, like a Sodom and Gomorrah. And preachers in the pulpit ought to have petticoats instead of clergy coats standing out there and will permit it, and ashamed to speak against it. Because their denomination will put them out. You crucify to the congregation the word of God, which says it's an abomination for a woman to wear a garment that pertains to a man. Think about it now. He says, I accuse it again of crucifying the word of God before the people. Bobbed hair women. Short wearing. Standing up there in the choir. Somebody said to me the other day, some woman asked me, said, where do you think you'd find, I said, if the Lord would ask me to pick a dozen out over through the world, I'd be scared to death. When by discernment of the Spirit, I remember he had discernment of the Spirit. We all know that, right?
Amen.
Right. Stand there and watch them and stand like that and see them things over them. The dirty, filthy, low-down cigarette suckers out there carrying on like that and stand in a rogue choir and sing in that condition. Remember what I mentioned about Elvis Presley? And you remember I made the statement, I can't stand that? Now, do you think I'm wrong because I can't stand it? I'm going to prove to the Lord I ain't. I'm going to prove you're wrong. If you can stand it. Out there carrying on like that and stand in a rogue choir and singing that condition and let the audience see them, they say, well, if she can do it, I can do it too. I'm a Christian. If she does it, I can do it too. A Christian life is a life of holiness and purity and innocent.
Amen.
Holy, purity, and innocent. I indict them in the name of Jesus Christ. For their filth and dirt, they have brought the gospel to a disgrace. All these singing groups has brought the Lord Jesus Christ to disgrace. Same thing Elvis Presley did. And those who try to hold it are called fanatics. Those that try to hold to it, to what's true, and they hate that stuff, are called fanatics. And calling it old-fashioned nonsense. He says, I indict them in the name of Jesus Christ. Just modern striptease on the street, singing choirs, cigarette smoking, telling dirty jokes, three or four husbands after their sixth one, and then sing in a choir because they got a voice. You poor, intellectual, spiritual deprived, rejected upon your own ground. You read the same Bible any other man can read, but you've turned down the Spirit of God. Till the Bible said that you'll be given over to a strong delusion. That's what's happening in this day, friends.
That's right.
Many are given over to a strong delusion.
Amen.
to believe a lie and be damned by it. You actually believe that you're right. And the Bible says that you would believe it and be damned by that same lie that you believe it to be the truth.
Right. Amen.
Thousands in this message is under a delusion. Therefore, I indict you by the word of God that you are teaching people error and crucifying the principles of Christ. The holiness and life above. What do you think about a preacher that doesn't scold that thing till people get sick of hearing it? Maybe wearing those blue jean skirts with pockets and zippers on so tight, and tops that shows their bosom. A man that won't do that. He has crucified the Lord Jesus Christ afresh. I don't care how well he preaches, how many people he lays hands on, how many powerful meetings he has. He's Antichrist. That person might walk out on the street and be a different person. Preachers stand on ball grounds, smoking cigarettes, stumbling blocks, see? All that other tomerot that they put up with. Women in their choir and wearing shorts and bobbed hair, carrying on like that, and painted faces, and then call it sister this and that. The Bible condemns that stuff. Go to parties and carrying on, still a member of the church and maintain their testimony and live any way they want to. I was at a choir, one of the famous big places, not long ago. It's just about done here. With one we're reading this part of this morning. I just wanted to bring these things back to your mind. He said, one of the highest ranks of Pentecostals that there is. And I happened to be sitting in this brother's study where four or five choirs got together. And some of the finest organizations of the Pentecostals. And they didn't know that I was the minister. Or he says, and they didn't know I was in this minister's study at Oklahoma. I was sitting down there below where the minister studies before he comes to the platform. And there were some little Rickies out there and Rickettas with paint. Look at all them groups today. It's got paint all over them. Lipstick on that's brighter than some automobiles going down the road. Earrings hanging down. Men up there with long hair. Oh, but brother, they can sing. Why don't you come and listen to them, brother? Why don't you just pull that up and listen to it? My, that sounds good. Well, I hate it. Except to everybody else what they want to do. But I hate it.
Amen.
Because of what they're doing to my Lord.
That's right.
Now, I can't sit here today and change you. Is there one thing that will change you? To change from hatred to still liking it. Or still liking it to hatred. One thing. All the preaching I could do would not change it. It would maybe only make you think about it. It may make you wonder, well, Bro Steve, you're a fanatic. There's something wrong. We don't hate you if you hate somebody that's singing gospel. There's something wrong with you, brother. You're turned fanatic. Have I? Did the prophet? You're going to call Brother Branham fanatic? No, he just had the same spirit that Jesus Christ had. And that's the big problem today. Ain't every man got that same spirit. There was them little Rickies out there in Rickettas painted or with paint, and not one of them, he says, there was them little Rickies in there in Rickettas paint. Not one of them had long hair, and I was talking about the women. Every one of them with bobbed hair. Every one of them with makeup on. Wow. He's seeing something that he hates. Every one of them with robes on. And a little Ricky standing around there going along like that. And another man was taking up missionary offering. And he acted like he was a blind man with a cup and going around saying all kind of blasphemy things about taking up the offering and things like that. But got out there and tried to sing the Messiah. Oh, my. And could do a pretty good job at it. But it didn't have a ring. It was dead. In vain they do worship me. Oh, my, there you are. There's his new... Now, how,
If I got that same Christ in me, how could I love that? Them crucifying my Lord. Do you know there was people back in that day when they crucified him? That they cheered and screamed, "Crucify! Crucify!" Do you know it's the same devil in you? To do the same today. There is no difference. The same devil. To crucify him again. Our Lord and Savior. The King of Kings. The one that gives life. The Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley. Today you cheer it on. The audience cheers it on to do away with him. Do away with him. We like this. We like this. Instead of I can't stand it. I hate it. Disobey God's word. I hate it. To even think that I catch myself going over the speed limit and not pay attention or have a desire to go over it and don't care. I hate it. I can't stand it. I can't stand to hear a woman back talk. Hate it! God hates it. If that same God is in us, you will hate it too. Let me read something here. I'm going to read something out of the Church Age book here on page 136. I'll start here. He says, "You know God looked down and declared, 'The soul that sinneth, it shall die. It is separated from me. It can't approach unto me.' We know that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That meant that all died, all were separated, and one day a time would come when even that bit of life would be snuffed out and it would be all over. But God in love took an animal and took his life in the place of the sinner's life. In the Old Testament, the sinner brought a lamb. He placed his hand on the lamb while the priest cut the lamb's throat. He felt the bleeding and the hurt and heard the bleeding of the lamb. He felt the body stiffen in death. He saw the smoke of the sprinkled blood ascend unto God. He knew that the lamb had taken his place. He knew that the lamb's life had been forfeited for his. But the life of that lamb was an animal life. Could not come back upon the sinner, making him clean. Just didn't work. So he left with the same desire for sin. Because that lamb, regardless how many times they did it, how many years they did it, God would cover their sins for a year with the blood of that lamb. But it didn't change them. He still had that desire for sin. Now we're going to go into something, saints, I want you to listen very closely to. That probably most of you do not understand. So please listen. So he left the same desire to sin. He would go out with sin in his mind and come back and offer a sacrifice for the same thing a year later. But in the New Testament, it is not so. Our dying Lamb, the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his blood a ransom for many, by faith we walk up and place our hands upon that Lamb. We see him with the bloody wounds, the lacerated back, the cruel thorns tearing his brow. We feel his pain and hear him cry, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?"
And what happened? The life that left that broken blood cell came back upon the repentant one. The repentant one. Hopefully that was you and I. The life that was in him came back upon us. Do you understand that so far? We go back. I hope you're spiritual enough to understand what he's saying. We go back with no more desire for sin. Once that's happened. No more desire. I repeat, no more desire for sin. We now possess a hatred for the works of the flesh. We now, after that happened, we possess the works of the flesh. We're going to talk about these works of the flesh in a bit. But did you get that? We now possess a hatred for the works of the flesh. Look at us. What is our life, he says? Just one little cell that came from our father. The female does not have the hemoglobin. She produces the egg. She is the incubator. But the blood comes from the male. In other words, our life comes from our Lord Jesus Christ. That is why the woman takes the man's name. The children take his name. The mother is the incubator for the children, and she bears him. That is what happened for our redemption. The Holy Ghost came upon Mary, and she bore a son and called him Jesus. The great Creator came down and became a sacrifice for our sin. His blood was the blood of God. That is exactly what it was. That blood of God was shed, and the Spirit left him as he died in agony. Now listen. Then the same life, he says, Spirit, came back to indwell in the repentant sinner and set him free. Set him free. Now, Buckeye has no enticement to it. Football has no enticement to it. Someone that crucifies my Lord Jesus Christ, their mockery, has no enticement to it. It's gone. I've been set free from it. I've been set free from something that I could not quit going back into sin. I've been set free from it. If he has came and dwelled within us, set the repentant, dwell in the repentant sinner now and set him free. That sinner did not come back year after year, sacrifice after sacrifice, for there was no need. By one sacrifice, once and for all, he's been set free from the dominion of sin. That's if it has happened. And has received the life of Christ. For some reason, though, we still got, some of us have in our mind that there is, we have the life of Christ, and yet I can be fleshly. That is not what the Word says. By no means. There's no way Christ can have you and be in you and you still be fleshly. It's impossible. It contradicts Scripture. And has received the life of Christ whereby he reigns in victory over sin. The world, the flesh, and the devil. God did it. He did it all, he says. Reigns in victory over what? I will repeat it. Sin. world, the flesh, and the devil. Now, if you've got victory over all that, there's no one else can live but Jesus Christ. He's the only one can live now. Okay? Now, we'll come back over in the Church Age book a little later here. Let me go back in. Let's turn our Bibles now, the book of Romans. And the 8th chapter, and let's begin the first verse. And again, we'll find out why that prophet in so many places hated that works of the flesh. He was really born again. He was really filled with the same Spirit that came and was to come in his last days. He really had the same Spirit. There was absolutely nothing different in it. It just turned out that when he was filled with that Spirit, whatever God hated, this man hated. Same way it will be with you. Whatever God hates, you will hate. Whatever God desires to do and to fulfill, you desire the same thing. There is no difference. Because it is his Spirit. Oh my. But today we try to make him as a different spirit. That he's a different spirit, the great almighty God that comes in and tolerates my ways. He tolerates my failures and tolerates my flesh and carnality. He tolerates it. And I can get by with it. No. Until you come to the real in Christ, that every one of us hate the works of the flesh, then we'll be the ones, so the child will understand that we'll go to heaven. Until you possess that hatred for works of the flesh, you ain't going nowhere but burning hell. Until you hate it. Because until you hate it, nothing's ever happened. Scripture's going to tell us. Amen. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now think about it. Who walk not after the flesh. What's he talking about? Every one of us today has got flesh on us. You mean tell me, Brother Stephen, until I kill myself and my body's dead, I can't serve God right? Carnality is dead. You'll never serve God right. You won't know what he wants. You won't know what pleases him. But there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. Otherwise it's condemned, 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 and condemned. But after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. It frees you from it, friends. It's not you're dragging it around and trying to keep yourself from doing things. You may have been an alcoholic, but when Christ sets you free, every alcoholic in the world can gather around you and offer you booze. And there's something about it you hate it. Is there a problem trying to keep yourself from drinking it if you hate it? I don't do anything I hate to do, friends. No, when it comes to God, I don't do anything that I hate to do because I can't stand it. When the men are talking foolish and carnal on the job and get to talking about their goofy things in life, I hate it. I hate it. So I have no problem trying to keep myself, I got to try to stay out of this conversation. Sounds like it'd be so fun to be involved in that.
Just walk away. Oh, they don't think you're normal. But that never did bother me. Because I'm not. Because to the world, Jesus Christ is normal. No problem. Don't you celebrate Christmas? What's wrong with you? Don't bother me. I hate it. The way they celebrate it. I hate it. Ain't no problem. I'm not forcing, fighting, trying to keep myself back from it. Neither did the prophet. All any of these things is contrary.
For what the law could not do, then it was weak through the flesh.
Remember, I just read to you what he said about under the Old Testament. It's weak through the flesh. The flesh couldn't keep the word of God because their desire was still the same. And the flesh was just too weak to try to keep it. So it didn't get kept. So they went back year after year with the same desire for sin and offer their lamb. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, amen, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. In us. Who is us? God knows who we are. It's not everybody. But the us is whoever God predestined. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh. Here in a little bit he's going to tell us what that flesh is. But after the Spirit. That's what the prophet was walking by after the Spirit when he seen them Rickies and Rickettas up there in that choir. With lipstick on, paint on their faces and earrings and that's what he had in him when he looked at that.
That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh,
are you listening?
Do mind the things of the flesh. Can I read you original Greek on that? To mind the things of the flesh is to be of the same mind, or to seek, or to strive, or to seek one's interests, or to take sides with. Take sides with.
Something is contrary with the word. How many things have we taken sides with that is not Christ?
For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit.
That's what we've seen God's prophet do. Mind the things of the Spirit. His interest is in the way God looked at it. And what God would do with it. And how God would handle it. Because he was not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
For to be carnally minded is death.
Wow. To be carnally minded is death. That's why I said a little bit ago, now this one over here may call themselves a believer, and this one over here calls himself a believer. But this one hates the things of the flesh. Just can't stand it. There's just something about it just boils inside. Especially when a woman's trying to call herself a believer. And she's wearing clothes that shows her figure and her underneath clothes, and he just boils on the inside. Not for the person, but for the works of that flesh. He can't stand it. And oh, sister so-and-so, sister so-and-so.
Where this one over here goes, I don't see that. It's not that bad. It's not that tight. Now, my goodness, you ought to overlook some things. People's got to have a chance.
as long as most people has been in this message. And they got to have a chance. I think they done had one. If not yet, the day will come they'd had their chance. If it ain't already happened. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded, is life and peace. Life, ain't that something that always comes with that? Peace. Yeah. Because the carnal mind, here's the church age book. For the carnal mind is enmity against God. Against God. It's against his grain. He can't stand it. The carnal mind. The carnal flesh. God can't stand it. And neither will any man or woman born of the Spirit of God, of the same Spirit, be able to stand it. For it is not subject to the law of God. See, them people singing in that choir, they wasn't subject to the law of God. They just couldn't be. Because they're brought under submission to the Word of God. So they wear their paint, their lipstick, their earrings, and sing mighty gospel songs to the Lord, and people in the audience crying. Oh, so sad. So sweet. The people crying. You realize how many people that's talked to God and been in services and cried is going to burn in hell? Is crying the evidence? No. If you don't receive the word for your day and it vindicate itself, the entire word of God. Now you're talking in evidence. Not crying. Not sobbing. Although the Holy Ghost will make you sob and cry and rejoice. Hallelujah. But we see works of flesh and we think, oh, that's powerful, that's God. We see people moved by what's being done and, oh, that's powerful, that's God. In vain do they worship me. Look how many people in the message churches today have in vain worshipped God. In vain. Didn't do no good. None whatsoever. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are after the, or that are in the flesh cannot please God. Just cannot. It ain't happening. That's why I thought I came here for. I want to please God. I want to find out more what he wants me to be, the way he wants me to act, how he wants me to live. Yeah. What he wants me to understand and know as a son of God, have a greater assurance. See? But ye are not in the flesh. Oh, there you go, Brother Steve. See, he's telling me right there I'm not in the flesh, but you got to pay attention to the rest of it. But in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Wow. So if I don't look at this picture of hate and the works of the flesh the same way as God does, I ain't none of his. Ah. Or if I am, I'm a little eagle that has gone a long time. A long time, and still ain't recognize I'm an eagle. Better hope you don't get too old to start flying. Yeah. Because remember, you got to start flying. And soar with the eagles. But
But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. So I don't have to worry about trying to make myself hate football. I don't have to try and make myself hate racetracks. I don't have to make myself quit wearing clothes that would make myself show, make men look at me. I don't have to try. I don't have to worry about putting anything on pertaining to man's apparel because God just changed it all around. Now I hate it. Yeah. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. See why I said you're going to hell? If it doesn't change. I didn't say he did. I don't guarantee if you die, you're going to hell. He's talking about spiritually dead, separated from God. But if you through the Spirit do mortify, you do it? No, you can't do it. The Spirit mortify the deeds of the body. You shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Led by the Spirit of God. Okay? What time is it? Let me read this carnal mind, the meaning of it again. This is the Greek on carnal mind in the Scripture. Is the sensuous, we all know what senses is, don't we? Reasoning, imagination, conscience, memory, imagination. The sensuous nature of man. The animal nature. We all know we'd be, Brother Bram said, we're nothing but animal if we didn't have a soul. Is that right? Without any suggestion of depravity, the animal nature with cravings which incite to sin. I'll get stirred up with sin. It stirs you. Oh, I like it. Oh, this is fun. I enjoy this. It incites you to be part of that sin. The physical nature of man as subject to suffering, a living creature, because possessed of a body of flesh, whether man or beast, the flesh, and it denotes mere human nature, the earthly nature of a man apart from divine influence. See what people lack when they're carnal? That influence of the divine nature, which is God. So not being influenced by that divine nature, things of the world looks good to them. It incites them to where they want it. It doesn't bother them. It doesn't make them feel bad. They think everybody else is fanatic. They think there's nothing wrong with this. Well, you're crazy, preacher, to think the way you do. Flipped your top or something? What's wrong with you, old feller? I thank God by His grace that I have that works in my life. It shows I hate flesh. That I hate it. Now, if I had time, Lord willing, we'll pick it up this evening. I'll finish this up. I'll go read to you what the prophet said. And it's the part, I am sure, some sitting here, and probably many sitting here, do not understand. I'm sure of it. And it's been laying there all the time. And people walk right over top of it. why is this? Why is it maybe the husband stands there and he can't stand a certain thing? But the wife, she likes doing this, and she likes getting into this, and she likes doing this, or vice versa. Why is it maybe a child would bring in something of the world into your home, and it's something carnal and fleshly, and there's something raises up in her? That will not be in my home. By no means.
Amen.
None. Why does some playing all these electronic games and things, some hate it? They need something to do, Brother Steve. They need something. When many of them give warnings right on the packages, what it can cause. I know a young man right now, a young boy, somebody knew what I'm talking about. His life was going to complete ruination. Then he'd start looking around like he's crazy and everything. And I want to know, why? What's going on here? And the doctor says it's from watching games and playing games and things. Programming the inside intellects. Look at the jerking, crazy, idiot people we got today. Some hate it. Some sit here and say, oh, they've got to have something to do, Brother Steve. You don't have kids anymore. I'm going to tell you what. I had my children, and they didn't get it. Even was there. 24 years ago, coming up, I preached in another church the same thing. They've got young people that are total idiots because they didn't see it important. They didn't possess the hatred of that thing. They loved it. Dad would get on there too and see how it was. This is kind of fun, you know. And then Mom just, you know, keeps her mouth shut. Yeah, well, I don't see where it's hurting anybody. Go ahead. Always remember, the prophet preached the message, and it goes for everything, warning before judgment.
Amen.
Always remember that. A few years down the road, when your child starts really getting into the point it wants to kill somebody, don't cry on my shoulders, because I'm going to tell you, I told you.
Amen.
Don't expect Brother Steve come up there and want to cast the devil off of him. It's your baby now, friends.
Amen.
You didn't heed to God's call. God gave you a ministry for a purpose. And if you reject it and walk away from it, I don't know why you even waste your time being here. Why would I even want, expect, if I didn't want to listen to what God had to say to me through his ministry, why would I even want to waste my time being here 2-3 hours?
Amen.
Why? It don't make sense to me. Think you're going to make it in on y'all? That's what most people are thinking anymore. They can out go to church and everything else. They got all kinds of crazy ideas anymore, you know. But that still breaks God's word.
Amen.
Friends, I'm telling you, it's the good golden old rule. Man shall not live but bread alone, but by every word that proceeds in the mouth of God. Now you try to make it in without. Tried to tell you people many things over the years, and I see people walk away from it. I see people who don't pay no more attention to it than anything. Whether they're deaf, or their mind's on tomorrow, or something else going on, or troubles in the home, I don't know. I can't answer that. Whether they're not even predestinated, I can't answer it. But God knows I'd give my life to this. To try to make sure I declare unto you the whole counsel. There's no question. But you'll know exactly what God wants. I've never give you my idea. I've tried to back it up with the word in everything.
Amen.
You see. Years ago, I'd preach against these groups singing out there, make up and singing and making a mockery. And I mentioned it many times in this poem. And people would still love it. If God's word from that prophet ain't enough, I don't know what to tell you. You need a soul change. You need a change of nature. You need Jesus Christ truly in your life. If you can't see giving your kids games to play electronic games and getting their mind all twisted up and watching for this and watching for that and this ding, 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 there's something wrong with you. As Brother Brennan would put it, spiritually deprived. Oh my. Dear God, have mercy on us. I'm trying all I can to get you in, friend.
Amen.
Why don't you listen? Oh, I was just a devil in you, Brother Steve. You tell me where anything I've said, it's the devil. You say, well, if, friends, if it's of Satan, he ain't going to want to try to get you away from him. No. I'm trying to get you away from him. I'm trying to get you in Christ.
Amen.
Not serving Satan. You see? Oh, saints, wake up. Wake up. Friends, I work with a man on the job. He can't live without mind drugs. He can't live without it. The minute he's off of it, if he's off of it a day, he's starting to be the most terriblest person you want to ever be around. Evil, wicked thinking. What's he need? Jesus Christ, not a drug. Jesus Christ overcomes all that. I don't care where your brain's at. God will overcome all that. Today, a doctor comes up, well, your child needs this. They got ADD and this, that, and the other. I'm going to tell you what, they need Jesus Christ. You need Jesus Christ in your home. That's what you need. And you need a paddle. And you make them hurt. You make them cry. Make them scream. And tell them you love them. And tell them why you're doing it. Explain to them what's going on. Yeah. But people are losing that, friends. They're gone. God is going to shake this world.
Amen.
And he's going to shake it, friends, till there ain't nothing left of it. And then people's going to scream out for the rocks to cover them. Scream out for the mountains to hide them. Oh, my. And here we stand by God's grace, getting our warning now. Talk about grace. Grace. Amen. God's marvelous. Oh, I love him. I appreciate him. Amen. You love him?
Amen.
Amen. Let us all stand. I want you sisters, come in and let's just sing a little song, if you will. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Anybody got a song you want to sing? Want to sing to the Lord? Amen. I'm sorry? To be like Jesus. Amen. It's good to be like Jesus. That's what it's all about, isn't it? Amen. Let's sing that little chorus. Praise his wonderful name.
To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. Oh. Three.
us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we appreciate your word. Oh God, I ask the Lord, everyone standing in this building today, that Lord, somehow, every one of us will possess that hatred for the works of flesh. Anything of the carnal, Lord. Anything. And Lord, we realize that there's so much carnal today. We live in one of the greatest ages of modern technology. A time, Lord, where people have separated themselves from you, Lord. The new Golgotha. They've taken you to Calvary again. Oh God, unless you place these things in our heart, we will have the next new Golgotha. Help us, Lord Jesus. Forgive us of our sins and our iniquities. Forgive us, Lord, of our shortcomings. How we need to be more centered on things above and not on things this earth. Lord Jesus, you are in complete control of our lives. Father, the messages that the prophet brought on having complete preeminence will be a true reality in our lives. Oh God, help me. Lord, anything in my life, if it's not pleasing to you, show me, Lord. I want to be right. I want to be exactly what you want me to be. Be conformed to the image of your moral excellency. Oh God, the same Christ, the same Spirit, indwelt in human flesh. Grant it, Lord, is our prayer. May that be the desire of every man and woman and young person that stands with me today. And now we ask you to bring us back again, Lord. Make it possible if you should tarry. Give us health and strength for our bodies. Heal the sick and afflicted. Open the eyes of the blind, Lord. Oh God, and we give you the glory and the honor. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. On earth alone, to be like him, all through life's journey, oh hallelujah, earth to glory. Be right. Amen. And everything. Amen. That Christ would get the glory. Amen. Not to shame him or bring a reproach, but to glorify. That's what we're here for. Amen. All right. God bless you. You're all dismissed.